Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. This is my dad, Ted.
Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. I'm your host, Ted Knightsky. So many times in our work and personal lives, we find ourselves overwhelmed at certain times of the year. Many of the reasons we are overwhelmed is because we are not thinking about the work we are doing and the expectations we are putting on ourselves. In addition, we are not thinking about our personal capacity to support others or ourselves. As a result, we find ourselves spread too thin. This episode is dedicated to a process that will allow you and those you serve to be in a position to reevaluate how you lead, when you address change, and how you maintain your capacity for leading. I look back upon many elements of my career and think of my missed opportunities for improvement and how, if I had just had a process, I could have served others better. One of my earliest learnings in leadership is that change is difficult to lead, difficult to accept, and difficult simply just to do. So many people work every day to figure out why those who are asked to change are not changing. Well, one of the many reasons is that those of us in a position to institute change failed to take a critical step in the process to ensure that people can change. What I'm talking about is not necessarily just mindset. I'm talking about capacity. I heard once that one change by the leader is a minimum of 10 changes for those they serve. Let me say that again. One change by the leader is a minimum of 10 changes for those that they serve. Now, I have no idea if there is any science behind this statement, but if you reflect on it for a moment, it stands true. Let me give you one example. One change that happened to me this year that made this statement very true was that I had a credit card compromised. So I get the phone call that tells me that I have a new card being sent to me, and one change by my credit card company, and easy for them, but everything in my life is tied to that card. So I have to change all of my accounts, Amazon, Apple, Netflix, my orthodontist, because I got to get those airline miles, right? And then throughout the year, I find other ways that the card was used for auto renewals that I had completely forgotten about. Anyway, one simple change on one person's behalf, that was at least 10 for me. As leaders in all areas, we make what we believe to be simple change in our organization, and we believe it's one change. But when you institute, say, a new reporting system, it seems like just a simple change to the decision maker, but in the end, the people doing all the inputting are changing all types of behaviors, and then you compound that with the other work they're doing, their other responsibilities, and other projects, well, you may be creating a capacity issue for those you serve. So, one day, about 10 years ago, I'm sitting in a contractor's trailer as we're building a new school, and up on the wall is this big chart that shows everything that has to be done in order to build the school. As you can imagine, building a gigantic school is a lot of work, and there are a tremendous amount of interdependent projects, schedules, and assignments. I asked the project superintendent if he could show me the process he used to build the chart, and it was in this job trailer that I had a huge epiphany. The epiphany was simple. I needed to lay out all of the expectations I have for those I serve and determine if it does one of two things. One, does it flow for the people I serve? And two, do they have the capacity to do the work? After all, if you ask a group of masons to lay bricks around the entire structure of a school and they are not given enough time, the right materials, and the foundation as well as infrastructure, they're not going to be able to be successful. They'll actually fail. So, here is the strategy. Before you create change or implement anything, develop what is called a Gantt chart or project map. If you have a friend or relative in the commercial construction business or know an engineer, ask them to show you what it is. A Gantt chart is a type of bar chart that illustrates a project schedule. This chart lists the tasks to be performed on the vertical axis and time intervals on the horizontal axis. The width of the horizontal bars in the graph show the duration of each activity. Just look it up on Google or Pinterest. It's much easier than my simple definition there. But now, don't stop the podcast yet. This is going to get really exciting. Because one of the things we need to do a better job of in our organization is putting all of the current work on a single chart and then taking any new work and overlaying it on that chart. So here's how I suggest you use this. You make a spreadsheet. that has all of the cells along the top filled with each week of the year, starting at the beginning of your organization's year. Now, in my case, that would be a calendar that starts on July 1st and ends on June 30th. That means there are 52 cells across the top. Now, in the vertical cell list, everything that has to be done over the course of the year. Once you have all of your weeks listed and then have all of your tasks listed, go through the document and fill in the cells for the amount of time that you are working on those tasks or when those tasks are due. So for example, if you were an elementary school principal in August, you'd put when the teachers come back, in service, ice cream social, etc. In September, you'd put start date, when fire and lockdown drills would need to take place, and all of those different types of pieces. You list all of these in your favorite color because they represent the work you as the principal do. Now next, you bring in the custodian and ask him or her to fill in the major benchmarks that they have for the year. They will list things like stripping and waxing the floors in July, when they need to clean the filters in the handlers, clean the gym, all of those different pieces. You then have your grade level teachers complete the map with you, the specials teachers with their concerts and open houses, guidance counselors, school secretary, and you put in things like report cards, midterms, standardized tests, field trips, concerts, etc. Right in front of the leader, this chart comes alive, and now you have a very clean and clear visual indicator of capacity. You also have a map that demonstrates when people do and do not have any capacity. You'll see something that is always an epiphany, like I had, for leaders. That August is the absolute worst time to implement anything, because it is the single busiest month on a school map. But yet, that's when we do it. Imagine if your entire system laid this out. If a school district had a map that clearly demonstrated when everything was taking place and all you had to do was run your finger down a group of cells to see if it was a good time to do something new. Now, let's back up a second. So, if one change by the leader means 10 changes for those they serve, how could you be better at predicting the capacity as well as the reception people will have to your innovation? A process. A process is the answer, and this process will allow you to determine if people have the capacity for change. Many of us look at people who say things like, "Oh, we've already got a ton on our plate," and sometimes we roll our eyes at that response. But what if they actually do? Or what if they don't, and you actually took the time to look at their capacity through a process? What if you could determine to those you serve that now actually is the best time to do this, and you could show them how you were considerate to their needs because you have a process to measure their capacity? Again, you can go on to Google or Pinterest and see all types of ways that people use Gantt charts and project maps. I'm going to give you a couple more examples of the power of this process. I recently worked with a school that was a high-performing high school but had lots of students not turning in their homework. Guess what I suggested? This process. We created a simple 52-cell spreadsheet and listed on the vertical line all the subjects that are taught, all the school athletic and co-curricular schedules, and collected from kids their personal commitments like club sports and religious commitments, as well as work commitments. This was a high school, and when we were done with just the athletic and co-curricular practice and competition schedule, it became evident why kids were struggling. When we compounded it with their club, work, and religious commitments, it became painfully clear what was happening. One end of these kids' lives was not lining up with the other. School and personal commitments literally had about 70% of the student body with an afternoon or evening commitment 6 days a week. We read about students having anxiety and stress at never heard of levels before. And once we laid everything out, well, it was pretty obvious why. So the team used a root cause tool and looked at a strategy to balance out the after-school academic commitments for the students. In this case, they negotiated as a faculty on who would have homework on which nights, monitored due dates, and communicated to parents and students which nights they'd have homework and about how much they'd have, allowing for parents and kids to schedule and work with coaches, advisors, and employers. Turns out, the best nights for homework based on the schedule is Mondays and Wednesdays. Again, they simply created a visual indicator and showed themselves what they were doing to students. Finally, teachers can use this process when they introduce units. Middle and high school teachers who introduce long-term projects could simply create a project map that demonstrates benchmarks that clearly show what should be done and by when. Everyone procrastinates, and when you have a long-term project, simply checking the progress along the way and checking off milestones on the Gantt chart or project map will increase success and engagement. Unfortunately, most of us don't think this way for those we serve, and as a result, we can push people to failure. This process allows you to regularly review progress and determine if you can make a change at all. We fail most often at launch because we don't have the proper conditions in place to increase success. This tool is not one of those quick and easy process pieces. It takes time and personal leadership maturity to do it. And if you're not good at stuff like this, find someone who is. I am always amazed that there are people who really enjoy making these charts. Once you have one completed, print it and hang it up so that you can reference it with frequency and model for others the process. The key walkaway from this episode is that if we truly are looking to ensure the success of those we serve, we have to employ process. You will always hear people say they can't or won't do the change, and sometimes you have to see if their mindset is accurate. However, once you demonstrate the thoughtfulness put into the decision, that you collaborated with others, and that you measured the best time to employ change, you prod the buffaloes along a little easier. Mindset matters and can encourage. But process trumps all states of mind because process supports success. And if you can combine mindset with process, you can supercharge your outcomes. So let's do some smart thinking. One change by leadership means 10 for those they serve. How is that resonating with you? Will you develop a process to see the work? When you institute new projects or expectations, what is your process to ensure those you serve have capacity? That's it. That's the Smart Thinking Podcast. As always, thank you for listening, and please share this on your social media platform. Also, thank you to the Wellpennies for their fantastic music. Finally, leadership is everywhere, and you never know what direction you might send someone in as a result of being just who you are. Which is why I want to thank Mark Reuter, the superintendent for VJS Construction, who taught me this process. It was after he showed me the process that I asked him to teach me about it. He laughed because it is such a part of his life and very common sense to him. As a matter of fact, I think he said something like, hey, you mean Mr. Fancy Pants here never did a project map before? Quite a humbling statement. But then he was kind enough to walk me through all the elements and ways that we could use the tool. I'm sure he's forgotten that he did this with me, but I have not, and for that, I'm grateful. 15 minutes with Mark sent me in a new direction, and that is why we as leaders need to keep a healthy awareness of the simple fact that at any moment we can support the leadership of another person just by being ourselves. So this week, let's be the best version of ourselves for others.
There's a song horizon, just you wait and see. Won't you take my hand and shake the world with me? Shake the world with me. Shake the world with me. Thank you.